Hey there, all you mother lovers. This is Josh Rayner here. Before we get into the episode, I just wanted to say that this one was recorded before we found out the news about the cancellation of How I Met Your Father. So there won't be any reference to the fact that it was canceled. I think we even make like a How I Met Your Mother reference in the episode, but obviously this was long before, like a week before, because we were trying to get ahead a little bit. And so there's not going to be any mention of it. But be sure to head over to our Twitter page. It's at Last Call, HIMYM. Our pinned post has a petition to get the show renewed again so that we can at least get one more season to get it wrapped up, find out who the father is, all that stuff. So head over there and be sure, hashtag it, hashtag save HIMYF. Get that trending, get that spread everywhere. We want to get the show back on the air, all right? So in the next episode, we'll probably discuss it a bit more, our thoughts on the cancellation and everything. But until then, enjoy this episode.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back, mother lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at McLaren's, the best damn How I Met Your Mother podcast on the internet. I am one of your hosts, Josh, here with my best bud, John. How you doing, man?
Never better. Always good when we're talking about How I Met Your Mother.
I love this episode. It's like a nice little standalone. It doesn't have to do with a whole lot of other stuff, but it's a real fun one.
No, and I think that every time I watch this one, too, I'm like, it's definitely one of my favorite episodes, like, of the series, but it has nothing to do with, like, the whole Ted finding his wife thing. It has nothing to do with anything that's currently going on at all. This is literally just, like, you could pluck this from, like, the series itself, and it could just be its own standalone thing.
Yeah, and I don't remember if it was on the commentary for this episode or for the previous one, but they had talked about how that's kind of what they wanted to do with the season, do more of those standalone-type episodes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so we'll see a bit more of those throughout the... Because, like, Stella's not even mentioned in this episode. Not at all. Yeah, exactly.
Stella. Yeah, Stella. Stella.
She did not.
So, okay, so I'm gonna take that for a second, because you're the Seinfeld person. Why does Elaine do that? Stella.
Well, it's taken from a movie, from a stage play, technically. It's from Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Yep. In the movie, Marlon Brando is the one who says it.
Oh, okay. I love Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
He's very
young, Marlon Brando.
It's funny. He can say Stella, but he can't say Krypton.
Nope.
Krypton.
Like I said, it's a very young Marlon Brando. Who knows what happened with all that age?
All the coke.
I mean,
you don't get to be the godfather by selling hot dogs on a corner.
I mean, I guess you're probably right.
All right. So that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Season 3, episode 4. Nope. Season 4, episode 3.
Nope. Wrong again.
Fuck that. Never mind. Leave it in there.
No, folks, we are on season 4, episode 2, The Best Burger episode in New York.
Oh, shit.
I love it when we do this show. It's just so much fun.
I mean, you can tell time, which one of us is the note taker and which one of us just watches it to throw in his 2 cents.
Hey, you know what? We all need 2 cents once in a while.
I mean, I definitely need 2 cents right now. If anybody wants to throw it at hashtag JMade1, throw your 2 cents at me. It'll greatly be appreciated right now.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. All right. So this episode, like I said, The Best Burger in New York, aired originally on September 29th of 2008. It was directed by Pamela Fryman.
B-Fry.
And written by Carter Bays and Craig Thomas. And the summary reads, when Marshall first moved to New York, he found a small burger place that made the best burger in New York. Now, to cheer up the jobless Marshall, the gang decide to track it down.
Yeah. So, this is one of the things I love about this episode, is that it doesn't start out with a future Ted thing.
No.
Nope. It kind of just jumps.
I don't even think he's in it.
I don't think so either. I don't remember him being in it.
Yeah, I don't.
It kind of really just starts out with them sitting at the booth and they're talking, and Wendy comes over to take the food order. And I have an issue right away. Robin orders five burgers for the whole table. And then they're like, okay, well, maybe we should talk about it. Maybe we could go someplace else. And I have no issues with them being like, you know, maybe we shouldn't eat here at McLaren's. But who orders five burgers and doesn't let anybody just order their own shit?
Right? It's like, maybe they don't want it, you know, cooked a certain way. Maybe they don't want certain things on it. They're just like, give us five burgers. Boom. That's it.
Well, and I mean, like, because she speaks for everybody when she does that. She's literally just five burgers.
Yep, yep.
And honestly, it's the only reason I don't feel horrible for her for the rest of the episode.
Because also, she's the one who chose to do this weird 7-day cleanse and then bailed on it after a day. I'm just saying.
It was 2.
Day and a half, because Marshall's like, you just started it yesterday.
I know, but she's
so I'm assuming she started
point
it in the morning and ended it in the evening the next day. So it's I guess technically it's like 2 days, but...
Well, she's the one who makes the quote. She's like, it was 2 days.
Yeah.
And I'm just like... but yeah, it just really bugs me because, well, like, what if somebody didn't want a burger? What if somebody wanted, like, chicken fingers? Or, I mean, we know that McLaren's has a meatball sub.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, what if somebody would have wanted something different? But she's just jumps the gun and then she's like, five burgers.
No, yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it.
And then I love the joke, though, that comes after this. I love the gang sitting there being like, well, maybe we should talk about ordering someplace else. And Robin's like, no, we do this all the time. We talk about going someplace else and blah, blah, blah. But then I love how like they start talking about things. And Ted's like, Chinese. And Barney's like, I don't want Chinese. And he's like, Mexican. And he goes, I just said I don't want
Chinese. No, he says Indian first. He says Indian.
You're right. Indian. Yeah. And Barney's like, I just said I don't want Chinese.
Yeah,
and he's like, they're different. He's like, rice, weird smell, and
no, weird meat, weird meat, strange music side of rice. What's the difference?
That joke would not fly today.
Yeah, it was real bad.
and then Ted's like, fine, Mexican food, and Barry's like, I just said I don't want Chinese, and I'm like,
they doubled down on it, man.
Dude, I mean, it's a funny joke. It is a funny joke.
I laughed every time.
It would not fly today.
It would not. I laughed every single time that I watched it and it was said. But yeah, it's a little edgy for today. I think, unfortunately, you know, that's just kind of the way it is.
It's not edgy. It's funny
for today. I said.
I mean, I think it's only edgy for today because people can't take a joke.
Yeah, I think that kind of a joke, I think, is when people bag on stuff like that. It's a little, you're going a little far. I mean, there are definite jokes in this show that it shouldn't even have been done at that time, to be honest, let alone, today's landscape, but yeah, I think this one, I think this one's fine. I like I said, I laughed at it every time.
Oh, dude, it's a great delivery too. Like,
because really, it's more about showing how ignorant Barney is. you know what I mean?
Well, especially considering, like, later on we find out that he has, like, the map of, like, women he slept with.
Yeah.
He in the aspect of food, he might as well just say that all the women he slept with count as, like, one person, because they'd all be the same, like,
ethnicity. Yeah, if he's gonna do it the same way he does it with the food, yeah, absolutely. So before we go any farther, I had a couple of notes from the commentary that I had gotten. Apparently this episode, based on a true story from Carter's life.
Oh, okay.
But instead of a burger joint that he couldn't find, it was a record store.
Oh, that makes way more sense.
Yeah, it's like one of the first times he went to New York, he found this awesome record store, and then could never find it again.
It was a numbered street.
Yeah, which I love that joke, because like almost every street is a numbered street.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And so it's a hilarious joke.
There's a lot of little jokes in this episode that really make me laugh. And one of my favorite ones is after Marshall initially goes out for the burger and he comes home and Ted's like, oh man, I want that burger. He's like, you think the restaurant's still open? And Marshall's like, I don't know. Our place is open past 8:30. 9:30.
Yeah. You think our places in New York open past 9:30? That's like, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of really good ones. Also, apparently they wanted to do this story since season one, but were having a really hard time figuring out how to do it.
Really?
Like they knew they wanted to do this story about Marshall looking for this burger, but they couldn't, it's a term that they call breaking a story. They couldn't figure out how to break the story until now. So like they had been wanting to do it the whole time. So, but
I mean, it makes sense. But the first couple seasons are very strung together.
Yeah.
So this is a very stand apart-ish episode. So it's a good place to have put it in then.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it turned out fantastic. as I go through my notes, I do realize Future Ted is in this. He is at the very beginning.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm reading through because it says I wrote it down. Episode starts off Future Ted telling his kids about how New York has changed a lot.
Oh, from you're when he right. First
moved there, because I have some notes about this. I wrote down with lots of cool little unique places like the Elbow Room and Fez being replaced by a drugstore and of course Goliath National Bank. Fez and the Elbow Room were real places in New York City that closed down.
Oh no shit.
Fez was Craig and Carter's go-to bar, along with McGee's, which is what they kind of model. They use those two bars to model McLaren's.
Oh, that's cool.
And they also apparently got Ted's last name from a DJ there that played. His name was Josh Mosby. And Fez did actually turn into a bank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like a Wachovia Bank, I think is what it said. And then Craig and Carter's band, The Solids, who do the theme song, they used to play at the Elbow Room.
Oh, no shit.
And before it closed down, they played there before it closed down, and it did, in fact, turn into a drugstore. So they used, like, real-life stuff for that.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was really cool.
Oh, man.
We do get a scene at the apartment with Barney wearing a whole bunch of G&B swag.
Yeah, it is pretty funny.
Which I love, and it reminded me of that scene in Wayne's World.
we don't do sponsors.
Yeah, I love that scene. Specifically, the part with Garth and the Adidas. Because he's just decked out, man.
Listen, I love the Pepsi one. It is one of my favorite throwouts that they do in that movie. He's like, you're right, it is a voice. The voice of tomorrow.
Yeah, I like the Nuprin one.
Dude, you always like the Nuprin one.
Little.
Yellow.
Different. Yeah, I love that. And Barney offers Marshall a job in their legal department at GNB. Because GNB bought out Ultracell, which was the company that he used to work for.
I'm gonna preempt here. Please tell me that you wrote down the jingle in your notes.
Not the whole thing, no, I did not.
Oh, man, because I loved the jingle. In times of need, I like to sing myself a little ditty. And he does it. He's like a Goliath National Bank.
Yeah, I Member love FDIC. It. The way he ends it. Goliath National Bank. Member FDIC.
Member FDIC.
Because he does that several times in the episode. Mm-hmm. And he, almost any time he mentions Jimmy, he's like, Member FDIC. Which is a great little runner for...
I mean, it's absolutely a great little runner.
Yeah. yeah, because there was all this stuff before any of the stuff at the bar with the burger and everything. Because then Lily, like, shoots down the idea of Marshall taking a job there.
You're right, because he's going to save the environment.
And we get this little montage of Marshall getting ready for interviews, which I thought was great. He's, like, he's slowly, like... just devolving into
you
just like,
will not cry.
You will not cry this time. He's just losing all his like hope and drive. And I've been there, man. And I'm sure you've been there. I know I've been there.
Oh man, it's a tough thing when you're in those moments.
Yeah, where it's just like months upon months without a job. We've both been in that situation before, and it's never a good time. And I love that they do specifically tell us that when they are at the bar, it's September 29th, which is the day that the episode dropped, which I thought was really
cool. That is fair.
They don't do it very often, but I thought that was really cool.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and then we went through, you know, all the stuff at the bar. Okay. We talked about how, you know, Robin made this order and everything, and she didn't get her food, right? But it took them an hour to get those burgers to the table. Because the screen says 1 hour later.
I mean, you're not wrong.
And the bar's not that busy.
I mean, it might not be that busy, but the cook might not be experienced either. We don't know what's going on in that kitchen.
I mean, the whole thing was they got a new cook, and like he makes this awesome burger. You know what I mean? That's the whole point of why, like, what she was hyping it about.
True. I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm sorry, but five burgers an hour? I don't know, man.
So here's my thing.
I would have left at that point.
We never actually hear the way any of the burgers get ordered, but I want to know why Robin's burger takes more time each time.
Who knows, man?
And then here's my other big question. Because we see the burgers get ordered here. We see the burgers get ordered at the second place, and then they end up at the third restaurant, which ends up being the right restaurant.
Yeah.
Who paid?
Well, okay, I actually have this in my notes. When they leave, the McLaren's, kind of like almost like to the edge of the screen, you see Ted turn around, pull money out of his wallet, and put it on the table.
Fair.
Now, the other places, I couldn't tell you.
So
the only thing I could think of is maybe they had to prepay, like they, you know, they ordered and paid, kind of almost like a fast food place would do. But outside of that, I don't know.
So think about this: those burgers weren't small; they were decent sized burgers, like they were hearty burgers.
Yeah,
they had to have been at least $20, easy, which means Ted threw down about $100 plus tip.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, especially in New York City, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But like, yeah, the fact that they went to multiple places and did this.
Yeah.
Like in two of those places didn't even eat the burgers.
Nope. And that's the thing too, is that in two of the places they took a bite from the burgers.
Yeah, that's it.
And then poor Robin didn't even get that.
No. I mean, yeah, because like the at McLaren's, Marshall just throws it on the ground. Which is like, that's kind of rude, because now somebody's got to, probably Wendy's going to have to clean that up. I don't know.
Listen, just add it to the list of reasons why Wendy hates Marshall.
It's true.
And Ted.
Yeah, very much so. So as this is going on, Marshall tells them a story about 8 years ago, his first week in New York, you know, and we started talking a little bit about this, but I love the whole thing with the baseball bat and how he's just afraid to leave his apartment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's watching an old Jewish lady in a bikini on public access.
Listen, oh, I love it when Ted comes home. He's like, listen, you got to go outside. You've got to experience things. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll guess I'll go. And he's like, leave the bat. So he leaves the bat, and then, like, his first experience outside reminds me of, it's the episode where they make fun of Marshall for being outside. Because he's, like, walking, and he's like, ah, da, 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 da. Yeah. He's like, hey, you, what's up? Oh. Yeah. And then you got, like, the guy who's, like, handing out flyers, obviously, for, like, a dirty...
Well, yeah, because they say the restaurant's tucked between a taxidermist and an erotic bookstore, I think is what he says. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But it just funny. It makes me laugh because I'm like, man, I'm like, okay. So, you know, Marshall's just clearly like this people person when he's out and about because he clearly just likes people.
Yeah.
And it makes me laugh.
Well, yeah, I mean, we kind of get that idea when anytime he goes back to Minnesota or anytime he talks about Minnesota.
You're not wrong.
You know, like, that's why he loves the big box store that he, you know what I mean, that in that one episode. Because everybody's so friendly, you know. Yeah, that makes total sense, though.
We haven't got to that one yet, though.
I know. Hey, dude, we spoil things all the time. Come on.
I know. Spoilers, bro. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I like to think of things sometimes when I'm watching episodes, and I thought about them ditching on two sets of burgers, and I was like, somebody paid for those. Like,
yeah.
At least the third ones finally get eight, and by that point, you know, we've got our surprise.
At minimum, McLaren's was paid for by Ted.
Yes.
The other Green Door place, I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm wondering if it's kind of like a, you know, like a Five Guys where you go in, you pay for your food, and then you sit down kind of a thing. Like, that's the only thing I could think of, because otherwise, yeah, they just bolted without paying for all those. That's a lot.
Like
I said, that's a lot. But, yeah. And so, like you said, Marshall goes for this walk, and he finds this place, this little green door with a red neon burger sign. And there's a picture of Regis Philbin inside.
Oh, I love it. And he looks so happy when he's eating the burger,
dude. Dude, he's, like, savoring it. It's, like, it made me want to eat this burger. You know?
I mean, we've had some pretty banging burgers in our life. Like, I can't complain.
Yeah, man.
I don't know that I've ever had a burger that's been, like, so amazing that I've, like, ran home to tell you and, like, we go back. But I've had some pretty banging burgers.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is just another episode of Jason Segel and his food.
Yeah.
It happens so many times in this show.
I mean, you're not wrong. But this is also where we get my favorite line, too, where he's like, oh, man, Ted. He's like, I just had this most amazing burger. And I love how Ted's like, oh, man, I want one of those burgers. He's like, do you think they're still open? Well, yeah. I don't know. Do you think places in New York City are open past 9:30?
It's a great one. I also love that he hits Marshall in the head with a bat. With the bat.
Hits him hard with the bat.
Dude, he does. It's like, oh my god, like he was just making fun of Marshall for like being afraid and using the bat and everything, and then he's over here sleeping with the damn thing.
I mean, I get it, it's their first couple of months in like New York City and stuff, so like I get it.
I think it's their first, I think he said it was their first week in there.
Yeah. But yeah, and so I love that like this is where like they go back over to the bar, mm-hmm. and Marshall's like, you know, we never found this place again. And I loved the guy behind him, like,
yes.
He rudely and I mean, like, I get he's not trying to be rude.
No, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely not trying to be rude. And what's funniest about this is, according to the commentary, in the script, this guy's name is, quote-unquote, the nicest guy in the world. That's the way they labeled him in the script, apparently.
But it's, so this is my takeaway on this. You hear that story, that whole story. Which means Marshall, because Marshall even says, I looked for it and never found it again. Which means Marshall has looked for this place. And this guy's like, oh, I know the place you're looking for.
Yeah.
And Marshall, and I mean, Marshall being as nice as he is, he lets the guy talk. And the guy's like, oh, you're looking for this place. Marshall's like, oh, let me think. I never thought to check the Zeitgeist and think that, you know, best burger in New York.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's what you get for sticking your nose into other people's fucking business.
I mean, I get it. I mean, he was just trying to be nice. I'm wondering if he's Like, is he actually like a local? Even you know what I mean? Just simply just for the fact of how nice he actually was. But also Marshall's kind of a dick.
I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that I get both sides of this because I've been the nice guy who's been like, oh, I know what you're looking for.
Also, I find it interesting. We see this story that he's telling, right? But apparently he never actually says green door, red sign until after this. Because then Robin jumps in. She's like, wait, green door, red burger sign? You know
what
I mean?
That is true.
Because if he had said green door, red burger sign, maybe that guy wouldn't have stuck his nose in.
That is true.
Because the corner bistro does not have that. You know?
That's a good point.
So, like, I don't know, which I think is interesting because, like, we see it, but he apparently doesn't say it to them.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, he's telling the story as, like, he came across this place. He might not have said it.
And realistically, it's future Ted telling the story that Marshall, you know, the story of Marshall telling the story. So that's why we, as the audience, are seeing it because future Ted is saying it, but apparently Marshall did not.
That's okay. I mean, that makes even more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I always forget that when a story is being told, it's being told from Ted's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense. Again, though, I feel bad for the guy, but I don't feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Fucking business.
Yeah, and then we get this montage of Marshall and Lily trying burgers from a bunch of different places, including a veggie burger place. Like, come on, Lily. Like, did you really think this was going to be the place?
And I love that one because they focus on that one for a minute. Because, like, Marshall clearly walks out of the other places.
Yeah.
And then, like, the veggie burger one, like, he's still sitting at the table. I'm like, oh, man. Something's going to happen with that one.
It sure as hell does.
Oh, sure as hell does.
Also, during this montage, we get so many of those classic Lily wigs. I loved it.
Yep.
You know me. I love those stupid wigs.
Yeah, you love it when they give a good throwback to Lily's past tense.
Uh-huh. It's always fun for me. And all of these places have a picture of Regis, which is funny, which obviously means, because, like, we do find out later on that Regis tried finding this burger too. He obviously tried all these same places.
Yep.
And got his picture up on the wall in all these places as
well. So, yeah, and we skipped over the fact that Regis is a special guest in this episode.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, kids, Regis Philbin used to be on morning television. It originally started with him being on a show called Live with Regis and Kathy Lee.
Kathy Lee, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Kathy Lee. Don't worry. I was going to say Regis and Kelly.
And then he was also the host of a very popular game show for a while, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Sir, I have seen the movie. It's called Slumdog Millionaire.
Not quite, sir. Not quite. Then Ted mentions, he says, you remember that one time we almost had a break in the case?
Yeah.
And we find out that Barney goes to the same gym as Regis, and they go and they ask him about this burger place.
Regis is just pumping iron. He's like, oh, that burger.
Dude, he's so like, he wants that fucking burger, man.
Dude, he wants that burger. You're not joking.
It drives his life right now.
I love how, because he gives Barney his number too, and he's like, listen, he's like, if you ever find that burger, you call me.
Yeah.
So after,
dude, he calls Marshall Lurch, and then he calls Ted Satchel Mouth, and you see Ted mouth to Marshall, he's like, Satchel Mouth.
Yeah. Well, and it makes me laugh because when Barney calls him after they're leaving the Clarins to go to the first place, he's like, oh, you should call Regis. He's like, oh, you're right. They're in the car.
That guy scares me.
And he calls him, and he's like, who is this? And he's like, Barney. We met the one time about the burger. He's like, the burger!
The burger! Yeah, man, he is obsessed. And rather aggressively obsessive about it, too.
Well, and it makes me laugh, because he's in the middle of, like, a new game show, apparently, like, Heads or Tails.
Heads or Tails, yeah.
And he's like, listen, I gots to go. And he just, like, fucking walks off set.
Which, do you remember Heads or Tails?
Vaguely.
Heads or Tails is the same show that Robin later on takes a job as what they call the coin flip bimbo. It's the same show, yeah. Yeah. or a currency rotation specialist, as it is technically called.
Listen, but we yeah, all I have that one that. Job that we never call it what it truly is. Mm-hmm. Mine is, I call it an underwater porcelain cleaning technician. Okay? It's how I ramp up my my resume a little bit.
It's true.
Because when I tell people that, people are like, oh, man, tell me about that. And I'm like, I clean porcelain in water. It was usually very hot. I'm not going to tell people I was a fucking dishwasher.
Hey, man. You guys out there, you can use that if you want.
I also found ways, if you ever want to know people, hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on my inbox specifically. I found ways to get D&D on your resume and it passes by.
There you go, folks. Oh, okay, so then they head off to, oh yeah, so like I said, Robin says, you know, red door, you know, neon burger sign. I know exactly where this place is. I pass by it all the time. And yep. So they go. And you know, Barney's still hyping GNB the whole time.
Dude, whole time.
And yeah, we get the whole thing with Regis in the, it's Million Dollar Heads or Tails specifically.
No, what it's called. Makes sense.
Yeah. And they get there. You know, and we see the green door. We see the sign. To us, it's like, oh, shit. Hey, you know, they found the place. Cool. But it's like halfway through the episode, right? And it's like, okay, well, what the fuck's going to happen? You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're watching this for the first time, you're like, okay, something's got to happen. And they get in there. Again, Robin doesn't get her burger.
Yeah. Yeah. Plates come out, and she's like, everybody just go ahead.
You know, Lily, Ted, and Barney loving it, just like at McLaren's. They're like really into this burger. And Marshall's like, this isn't the burger.
This isn't the burger.
It's not, man. But Ted thinks he's, like, just overhyped the burger. And that this actually is the burger. You know what I mean? Maybe all these years of talking about it and dreaming about it has made it unattainable, essentially, for him.
It's funny, that's because what? This makes me think back to last season when Ted overhypes sex.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, man, these potato skins. Not as good as I remember.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering if that's why Ted has that mindset then. You know what I mean? Could be. You know, it would make sense for him. But then Marshall gives this amazing monologue about the burger where he's just kind of describing it and how incredible it is and everything. And just the way that Jason Segel delivers this speech, it's so damn good, dude.
Oh, yeah. He talks about how, like, the burger and, like, the way the, like, then, like, the tomato and the lettuce.
It's just, like, just the way he does it. And I found out, I didn't know this. As I'm doing my research, I found this out. It's actually a riff on a similar speech from the movie Amadeus.
Huh.
Where Salieri is describing Mozart's music, and it's done in the same way. That's where
that is amazing.
Yeah, but they just made it about a burger instead.
I mean, but that is amazingly well done because, like,
yeah.
Also
Amadeus. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just the way Jason Segel, his performance with it, dude, it's fantastic. Like, it's so good. I wish they had given him more stuff like that to do. On the show, it would have been great.
Well, especially with food, because food's kind of like Marshall's, like, his comfort.
It is. I mean, fuck, all kinds of stuff. We had, like, the cake in the first season. We had the the Christmas cookies.
Oh God, yeah. I would love to have seen what he could have done with the 7-layer salad.
Yeah, that would have been good. Was he eating a burger and it gets slapped out of his hands? You know, all kinds of stuff. We always see him eating something. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And then Lily has this great little comedic button to the end of his speech where she's just like, and you got our wedding vows off the internet.
Off the internet.
Which is funny because, like, I was reading on the wiki and they were like, they were trying to say, oh, it's out of continuity because he comes up with his vows, like, on the fly because they do the wedding. But it's like, I'm pretty sure she's talking about the with everybody wedding.
Probably.
Because he would have had vows for that specifically.
Yeah.
Because he brought them. And, like, he didn't. The vows that he gave under the tree were not the vows he was going to give.
No.
They weren't. So, like, the vows that he originally had, I'm assuming then, were off the internet.
Probably.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's Marshall. I get it.
I was going to say, it's Marshall.
Yeah. But yeah, he starts to kind of like lose it a bit and like walks out. And Lily kind of, she tells everybody about how he's not doing so well. He needs to get a job. And we get this line between Ted and Robin here. And I don't know if you caught it. The line is, tell him about the underpants. What about the underpants? Do you know what this is a reference to?
No.
It's a Ghostbusters line. Tell him about the Twinkie. What about the Twinkie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think I ever thought about that.
Yeah, yeah, it's directly taken from that.
That's where Egon's like, oh, yeah, say, you know, this Twinkie represents
And then Venkman walks in, and he's like, tell him about the Twinkie. And then Venkman's like, what about the Twinkie? Yeah, so that's where this was taken from.
Fair. I respect that line so much more now.
Yeah.
But yeah, they talk about the underwear boundaries and, like, you know, everybody has an underpants radius. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, because I've lived with you, and they say a normal person's underpants radius is from their bedroom to the bathroom. Now, both of you and I have lived together, and I know for a fact that both of ours, I'm putting this out there on national recording, and I understand that, both of ours are past that.
Oh, I've so definitely, I've 100% gone outside. I've gotten the mail. I'm pretty sure I've gone out to my car in my underwear before just like to grab something real quick. Yeah.
I've done it.
I don't care.
Boom! And that's the way the Twinkie explodes.
It is, man. I don't care. I wear boxer briefs, so it's like they're almost like shorts.
Almost.
Nothing's popping out. Especially my current ones. They don't have a cock pocket.
Oh, yeah. No, neither do mine. So
nothing's popping out. So
as they're talking about the underpants radius, we get a shot to a few times of Marshall with his underpants radius.
Yes.
And the last one is my favorite one because it's him at the vegan restaurant. And he gets over the table. He's like, come on, Lily. We're leaving.
Yep.
And I'm just like.
And it continues from where it cut off before. And he's in his underpants at the restaurant. Why did Lily not stop him? Like, that's on her, dude.
That is totally on. Why wasn't she just like, hey, Marshall, could you please put some shorts on?
Yeah. It's like, we're going to a restaurant. It's like, no, we're not going anywhere if you don't put some pants or something on. Like, she allowed that. Yeah. That's on her.
Wholeheartedly on her.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you caught it. The first one, when he's on the couch, he's watching Million Dollar Heads or Tails.
Oh, yeah. It's always heads.
It's always heads. It's almost always heads. And this is where Barney sings the GNB song that you were, you know, so happy about. Goliath National Bank. Yeah. And then after Marshall has left, the waitress comes out with Robin's burger. And Lily asks her about, you know, if they, like, changed cooks or anything. And she tells them that the place was modeled after another place uptown with the same green door and neon sign. And now they are off to go and get themselves, to find this place and get themselves a burger. And Robin, yet again, not getting to eat.
And it's at this point where they say this. And I remember the first couple times I watched this episode and wasn't, like, so, like, in my mind. She goes, it was modeled after a place that had a green door, red sign, and I went, uh-oh. Because you don't usually get little places like that spawn a secondary place.
Yeah.
So I was like, something fucking happened. And, like, obviously, you know, this is where it cuts to, like, Marshall and them are going down the street, and you've got the guy still handing out the flyers, and, you know, Marshall's like, oh, and as they round the corner, we discover that it's not there anymore.
Oh, what? But what is there?
But, hold on, because Regis is with them at this point.
No, he's not. No, but he's on not. The way there, Barney calls him to tell him about it.
Yeah.
And he destroys, what is that?
Destroys a mailbox.
Is it a mailbox? I wasn't sure if it was a mailbox or like one of those newspaper things or what it was.
Oh, it could have been one of those, but it's definitely, you know,
he destroys
shows his strength.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so it's not there. But a GMB ATM is there.
Yes, it is, man.
Oh, you're right. No, it's not. It's because it wasn't Regis I was thinking of. It's the guy handing out flyers.
Yeah.
Because the guy handing out flyers is like, oh, I know the place you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He's like, it still exists. It just moved locations. for a small fee of $200.
No, 100.
Or 100.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where it's at.
Yeah.
And they're all like, because this is where it comes back to what I was thinking about with the money. Because everybody's paid for burgers along the way. It's like, oh, nobody has money. And yeah. Barney's like, oh, man, if only there was a quick and convenient way to get money.
Yeah.
And they all kind of look at the ATM, and this is, he does the GMB thing again.
Yep, yep. Member FDIC?
Member FDIC.
Dude, and before all this, though, Lily gets real mad at Barney because he's going on and on about GMB and after the fact that now it's an ATM, and since she just starts shit-talking GMB like crazy, and then Barney's like, Marshall, you got to tell her.
Yep. Tell her about the Twinkie.
Yeah, and then we finally find out that Marshall has a job, actually. He took a job at GMB with Barney. At
GMB.
Yeah. Also, we get this little thing with Robin. She's so hungry, she picks up a bag of chips off the floor.
Yeah.
She says, but they're not open, you know? She claims they weren't open, but they were barbecue, John.
They were barbecue. That's my favorite.
You could see it's a bag of barbecue Lay's, and those are damn good.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. You randomly find an unopened bag of chips on the ground. You're going to pick them up and eat them?
I mean, if I haven't eaten for 2 days, I might. I mean, I can't say I wouldn't.
Okay, let's hypothetically say you're walking down the street eating a calzone. You drop your calzone on the sidewalk. Do you pick the calzone up and eat it?
No, I don't remember. Did it land just directly on the sidewalk? Or was there a piece of paper between it? Like,
nope.
Oh, it touched the... New York City sidewalks? I don't think so, man.
City sidewalks.
We talked a little bit about this when we were doing How I Met Your Father, and there was that episode when Sophie had the red vines.
You're correct.
And she dumped a bunch of them, but she was like picking them up. I'm like, uh-uh, man. Every single one of those that fell on the ground, they'd be left there. No fucking way. Like, no thank you, man. I mean... Homeless people randomly pissing shit on the, you know, all over the joint. I'm just saying, it's true. I've seen it with my own two eyes, you know.
Josh got personal accountability on this one.
Man, it's crazy, and I would definitely not. I'm sorry, Marshall, but I would not be in that calzone.
Okay, so calzone and possibly a bag of chips are off the table.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if it's unopened, maybe. Maybe. That's a big...
You check it for its air supply.
I check it that. I, you know, maybe give it a sniff test, make sure nothing's, you know, gross has been on the bag. You know, that's fair. That kind of stuff, you know.
So, yeah. So, I love this. Because then, like, obviously, you know, they take the money out. They pay the guy.
Yeah.
And the next scene, we got all of them plus Regis sitting around the table. Burgers are being served. And everybody starts to eat.
Yes.
And, oh, well, no, Regis isn't there right away.
No, he's not there till the end, till the very end.
But, yeah, so they start eating the burger, and Marshall's like, nope, this isn't it. And he starts to walk away, and he stops, and he turns around, and what does he do?
No. That you're thinking of Regis.
No, you're right. I am thinking Regis.
Marshall says that, like, Marshall, like, right away is like, this is it. You know, and they enjoy it. We actually get to see Robin eating a burger, finally.
Finally.
Yeah, but then,
third burger.
The episode ends with all of them there, and Regis is finally there.
You're right. Yeah,
he's the one who does all that. This isn't it. They're like, what? Come on. And he gets up. He's like, wait a minute. This is the burger. And you hear Marshall. Marshall's like, oh, Regis. Yeah.
There's only one thing that would have made this scene even better, and it's a cross-promotional thing. So it's like, I'd be dreaming.
Okay.
But like, Steve Martin kicks in the door and he leans in and he's like, Hamburger.
I mean, that would have been funny. Yeah, I don't see that would have ever happened, but that would have been really funny.
Listen, I mean, Steve Martin and Robin Williams crashed on the Friends set. Or it wasn't Steve Martin. It was, who was that guy?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's the guy from When Harry Met Sally.
Isn't that Tom Hanks?
Then it's the other one with Meg Ryan. Sleepless in Seattle? Or is that Tom Hanks? It's not. Hold on. God damn it. I know who I'm thinking of, and I can't I can't remember his name to save my life.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Which one? I want to say Gutenberg, but it's not Gutenberg either.
Steve Gutenberg. Gotta love yourself a little Steve Gutenberg there, John. You know, he's done some good stuff.
It was Robin Williams and Billy Crystal.
Oh, but yeah, okay. Yeah, Billy Crystal.
And they walk in, they're talking about the... And then Joey pipes in, and he's like, excuse me, can't you see we're having a private conversation here?
Yeah, you're right.
It's funny, though, because I can never remember Billy Crystal by name. I always remember him by his voice. And whenever I think of Billy Crystal's voice, instantly I think of Mike Wazowski.
Mike Wazowski, man, absolutely.
Mike Wazowski!
Absolutely. So, all right, so that wraps up the episode. What are your overall thoughts on this, man? How you like this episode?
It must have been a good fucking burger.
Right? I mean...
Like...
Burgasm.
I like this episode. This episode as a standalone, not tied into the continuity of the rest of the Ted meeting a mother and fucking trying to be Mr. Good Guy all the time. It's a funny fucking episode.
It is.
Plus the appearance by Regis and like the little jokes that are made in between. Hilarious shit.
Yeah, I agree. I really like this one quite a bit. I always enjoy Marshall and his food. Those are always fun times for me.
Marshall, finding a burger.
There you go, man. You just made that a fucking new song, man. You gotta write the lyrics. All right. So now that the episode is out of the way, it is time for your favorite part of the episode. It's time for Barney's blog.
Suit up, bitches.
Yeah, that's right, folks. All right. So this week's edition of Barney's blog is titled "The Host with the Most."
Ooh, that's right. Kind of like a Beetlejuice reference right there.
Sure. All right.
It says, like, sure, like it's not a Beetlejuice.
No, it is. Place. You know, the ghost with the most. No, I get it. So it says, recently I had dinner with the most successful host of the in the history of television, Regis Philbin.
But is that a true statement?
To Barney it is. And it got me thinking, if that crazy fella can do it, why can't Barney Stinson? After all, what qualities make a great host? He says, personality, check. Awesomeness, check. Good looks, check. And it says, below are a few shows that I'd love to host. Let me know your favorite, and I'll pitch it to Reg the next time I see him at the gym.
Ooh, let me see. How many are on the list?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, I'm going to try to guess at least 3 of them.
Okay.
The Dating Game.
I'm going to tell you this. These are all things that he's kind of made up himself.
Oh, never mind then.
But you could kind of, if you want to try to guess what they're about.
Is there a dating game styled version game?
Not really.
Well, then I give up right there.
I
was going to say.
Not in the way the Dating Game itself was set up, no.
Oh, God, is he going to self-date people? Like, puts himself out there?
You'll see.
All right, sir, on with it then.
All right, the first game is titled, Is She Legal?
Oh, man. Haven't we all played that game before?
Yeah. Okay, so the description of the game, 20 nubile vixens compete against each other in trivia, physical challenges, and pillow fights before one lucky guy chooses a girl and asks the judges, Is she legal?
You think you would know she was legal before they went on the game show?
I think so. Location, international waters. You know, because then it's, you know, it's not illegal to do that, I guess. Judges, a panel of law enforcement officers poised to arrest the contestant if he chooses poorly. So if he chooses poorly, he's going to jail. Prize, free lifetime legal counsel by the lawyer of your choice. Sponsor, Thailand Tourism Board.
That's horrible.
It is. Okay, next one. America's wettest t-shirt. All right. 500 girls in skin-tight white t-shirts vie to see who can make their t-shirt the wettest. Location. A different city each week. Regrets. A different city each week. Regrets, Buffalo.
I love that there's a shot of Buffalo in there.
Yep.
That's not the first time.
It's definitely not. It's hilarious to me that they take shots at essentially.
I want
to
know why Star. Buffalo yeah. women to them are so ugly.
I don't know, man. I don't know, but it's definitely happened a few times. Okay, judges. A panel composed of swimsuit models, firemen, and Olympic gold medal swimmer Michael Phelps. Okay. I think this was before he got busted, if I'm not mistaken. Prize. Each week's winner will board the America's Wettest T-Shirt Tour Bus and earn an automatic entry in the season-ending Tournament of Champions, held in my pants. Sponsor, the NBA, the National Breast Augmentation Society.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yep. All right, number three, fathers and sons.
Okay.
Each week, a father and son unite, forgive each other, and start their relationship anew. Location, the heart. Judges, no one should judge the relationship between father and son. Prize, the chance to finally play catch with your pop.
Sponsor, okay, so at least...
Sponsor, the NBA, the National Basketball Association.
At least that one's a wholesome one.
It is, and you see it's like stuff that's important to Barney, right? You know, like boobs and ladies, and then his dad. Relationship with his dad. Yeah, you know, it's 100% makes sense. The next one fits in with him as well. The next great tailor.
Okay.
It says, up-and-coming tailors prove their mettle by making a new top-of-the-line suit every week. Location, Milan. Judges, pieces will be judged on the following categories. Wearability, removability, get Barney laid ability.
I wonder if this is before he hooks up with, what is it, Tim Kelly? Is that the guy's name?
Oh, Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn.
Yeah, I think, I mean, probably, yeah.
TV personality Tim Gunn.
Yeah.
Barney, your suit. Oh.
Prize, I get a nice suit and, depending on its quality, laid. Sponsor, Barney's New York. Duh. And then the last one, don't forget your wallet.
Oh, boy.
All right. It says unknown contestants are woken up early in the morning following a one-night stand and have 1 minute to get dressed and escape before we wake up the chick. If the clock expires or the contestant leaves any personal belongings, he may wind up stuck in a relationship.
Ooh.
Location? A bedroom near you.
Judges, that's like an escape room, but with a twist.
Yeah. Judges, a panel made up of myself, Scott Baio, and Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh, man. They got to change one of those and make it, what's his name?
Karate Kid Dude?
William Zabka.
Yeah, William Zabka. Billy Zabka. Prize, freedom. And sponsor, Trojan. Together, we can end feelings. And there it is, folks. That is this week's episode of Barney's Blog. I hope you all suited up, bitches.
Yes, and remember, when having relations with somebody, always remember to suit up.
Yep, always remember to suit up downstairs. You're right. Gotta make sure of that. Sponsored by Trojan.
Unofficially.
Yep.
So here's my question, though. Because I know it's not technically canon, but I'm going to go with this anyway, and I'm going to headcanon this. Think it ever bothers Barney that his brother is the host of a game show?
I mean, I feel like if that hat was actually within it, I feel like it kind of would. I don't know.
Especially Deal or No Deal. I mean, like, that's right up Barney's thing. Like, there's pranks in there, and there's fun in there, and a bunch of hot chicks.
Very true, man. Very true. Yeah. All right. Unless you got anything else you would like to add about the episode or about the blog or any of that jazz or just in general, about life. You want to add something about your life? I don't even go for it.
My beer can is empty.
Hey, you know, it's a good time to wrap it up then.
You're right.
He's just getting started, folks.
Listen, right. I know where this is going. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find out more about me, hop on over to Twitter. Find me at SimplySaneJ1. I'm a pretty fucking funny guy.
Yes, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And you can find me on Twitter, or X, as it's now called, what the fuck ever, at Movie Blog Merc. That is the Twitter page for my site, Merc with a Movie Blog. If you are watching this on YouTube, you are watching it on the Merc with a Movie Blog YouTube channel. So be sure to hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, and click that little bell, wherever the fuck it is.
Absolutely. And remember that if you are using your mobile device, you can use that bell to set notifications for when Josh drops new content. Like, you know, How I Met Your Mother, How I Met Your Father, trailer reviews, other things. Yeah. Maybe he's going to, you know, bleach his butthole on camera and show the world.
I mean, anything is possible, man.
If you want to see Josh bleach his butthole, leave us some comments.
That's a Patreon exclusive right there.
But what he's saying is that if you people make it happen, it'll happen. Hey, you're hearing it here. Nothing's off the table.
I'm open. And apparently so will my asshole will be open too.
You're going to spread your cheeks and call yourself Mike Honcho.
Mike Honcho. You know it. You know it. you can also be sure to leave comments on the YouTube videos as well. We'd love to hear from you guys there. And if you are on listening on podcast form, you can head over to anchor.fm/lastcall, HIMYM. Leave us a voice message over there. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts and you love what you're hearing, you want to leave us a 5-star review, make sure to leave a message with it, and we will read that out on air as well.
Absolutely. We always want to hear from you people.
And you know, if you're on Spotify, I know that they at least do a rating system. You can give us, you know, 5-star if you are enjoying what you're listening to. We'd love all that. Gets us higher up in the ranks and everything. Gets us seen by more people. Of course, check us out on Twitter, at Last Call. HIMYM, Twitter and Instagram, same handle, at Last Call, HIMYM, Patreon as well, if you guys are interested in anything, including me bleaching my butthole. Hey, anything's up for grabs, guys. Anything's up for grabs. And throw John a few shekels there at hashtag JMadeOne. You know, he could use it. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I think that's all I got for him, man. What do you got for him?
And how? You don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
Catch you guys next time.